I'm Marco Werman with The World. Very early this morning, the U.S. Senate voted to roll back a rule that made it harder for U.S. energy companies to pay bribes in developing countries. When I say energy, I'm talking oil and gas and coal companies, mostly. House Republicans had already voted to repeal the rule, so the rollback now goes to President Trump's desk for his signature. The rule had required oil companies to detail the billions of dollars they pay to foreign governments around the world for drilling rights. Often that money is thought to end up in the pockets of corrupt leaders. Sarah Chase studies corruption at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and I asked her first to explain why detailing payments to foreign governments is so important.
For example, ExxonMobil, which lobbied very heavily against this rule, in fact, abides by this rule in its UK subsidiary. So these are rules that are completely widespread international practice that now the United States is backing out of.
You mentioned ExxonMobil, the former head of which is Rex Tillerson, now Secretary of State. He personally lobbied against this provision, and so did many other people in the oil industry. What exactly was their argument?
I think from the extractive industry's perspective, they argue that it puts a burden on them to have to add to their reporting requirements. There's also a real tradition of secrecy within these companies. They, you know, of course, are in competition with each other to get deals with these governments. So they may be concerned that their payments are made public and then their competitors can know more about the type of deals that they are able to arrange.
How concerned are you that the new head of U.S. diplomacy, Rex Tillerson, is someone well-versed in how this world of natural resource extraction in foreign countries actually operates?
I'm extremely concerned. It seems to me that this is a person who is, I mean, he's grown up intellectually and humanly within this corporate culture, number one, of secrecy, number two, of consistent, frankly, deception of the public, be it about oil spills, be it about climate change, be it about the nature of these deals with foreign countries and the impacts that this type of corrupt extraction of resources has on the countries, on their populations, which are often reacting in violent and extreme ways, either by entering into conflict or joining insurgencies. I've seen this in a number of oil-producing countries. None of that seems to have affected his understanding of what ExxonMobil's social responsibility is, frankly. Yes, they do a couple of projects, you know, build a couple of hospitals here and there, but a deeper understanding of what a corporation of that size and magnitude, what type of responsibility it has for some of the devastation, both natural and human, that has been perpetrated during his tenure is really quite shocking to me. And he claims that he is now pivoting away from this and will hold the U.S. public's national interest first in his priority list. It's just not credible.
Why do you think this was one of the first actions the new Republican Congress took up?
Actually, there's a pattern, and the pattern really does reinforce my concerns about Mr. Tillerson becoming our Secretary of State. The pattern is one that absolutely cuts in the direction of oil and gas and mining interests. So you have this particular somewhat obscure rule in a multi-thousand page, you know, law. You have the stream protection rule, which is an EPA rule that just provided a little bit more of a buffer between mountaintop removal mining and the watersheds of rivers and streams that are downstream of them.
Right. Also rolled back this week.
Indeed, you also have the rollback of a rule that ensured that federal lands that were being sold to states or other entities were valued according to the potential economic value that they might have provided the federal government and the people of the United States. In other words, making sales to extractive industries easier and cheaper, and a number of other rules like that. And so what I'm seeing is a pattern that really has to do with the disabling of government regulations that protected natural resources and populations from the private interests of oil, gas, and mining companies. And so in a way, you have public lands and goods being placed at the disposition of the oil, gas, and mining industry.
So if we are, as you're suggesting, moving towards something like a kleptocracy, what's to be done? I mean, it feels like all of these things you're talking about, it's just an invitation to a fire sale.
That's exactly what I see it as, an invitation to a fire sale. And I think what needs to be done is very careful grassroots work among the people who live in these areas, showing them that they are not benefiting from all of these rules changes. On the contrary, it's precisely the kind of oligarchy that this administration claimed to be combating that is reaping the rewards of the political victory. And that work, I think, needs to be done in a very nonpartisan way. It needs to be done in terms of people who live alongside rivers and streams, whatever their political orientation is, to understand that we've been sold a bill of goods. We've been sold a government supposedly acting on behalf of the American people, which is acting even more baldly on behalf of very destructive types of industry.
Sarah Chase is the author of Thieves of State: Why Corruption Threatens Global Security. Sarah, thanks very much.
Thank you, Marco.